Hi, it's Colin Coward from the Colin Coward Podcast. Every goal starts with an assist. As official partners of U.S. soccer, this team is ready to deliver. Sensodyne, dentist-recommended defense of your sensitive teeth. Centrum, fueling your day with science-backed nutrients. Advil, of course, powerful inflammation-fighting pain relief. Voltaren Arthritis Gel, helps penetrate deep, keeps the joints moving, and Tums, ready to counterattack with fast heartburn relief. Learn how Haleon can assist your game day goals at haleonassist.com/Colin.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
All right, Ms. Murad, you may continue.
Ty also pretended to be a tutor to one of his friends and then stole her father's credit card and utilized it.
Overruled as to that.
Thank you, Judge. This is just a handful of the consistent and escalating behaviors Ronan continued to engage in. And he himself will tell you, as the state said in their opening, that he knows that things are wrong. And he continues to do them. He knows that there are consequences, and he continues to do them. And all this time, Tim and Tracy are racking their brains trying to figure out what will change Ronan's behaviors. Because they have an entire family here, right? These kids go to school, they have their own activities, they have a toddler at one point. They have to be able to get through the day-to-day of just being an adult and having a family, be able to send their child to school safely, knowing that other children will remain safe. So they try to get him into activities to kind of take out his energy. And when they see that's not working, they do counseling. They give him the medications that he's prescribed. They try to help him sleep at night because he keeps wandering the house. They cut sugar from his diet on the recommendation of a pediatrician that maybe that'll help his behavior and that'll make him less impulsive. This family is going from place to place to place, from appointment to appointment, trying to figure out how to get this child actual help, how to get a diagnosis, and how to get medication that will change his behavior. And as we discussed in voir dire together, what they found was a revolving door of doctors and therapists, and no one was able to offer them the help that they needed. You will see that Tim tried to curtail Ronan's behavior when nothing else worked, and there will be some videos of that. It's not always going to look pretty. just as it doesn't look pretty in real life when a parent gets mad at their kid, particularly a child. And you must remember when you see the videos, particularly a child who for years and years and years is continuing to engage in these behaviors, who will not stop. In 2019, while living in Havasu, Arizona, Tracy and Tim had their last and youngest child, Pierce. And at that point, they are fearful. Ty, Nola, and Fiona are a little bit older. They're about 10, 11 years old. And Pierce is coming in as an infant. And at this point, Ronan had been hurting other kids at school. He had been engaging in dangerous behaviors. He's walking around at night. And they did not know if an infant could be safe with Ronan in the house. And that is when they made the decision, while he lived inside their home in Arizona, this is not in the garage, this is in a house, to put a lock on his door. And that was not for the purpose of keeping him locked inside at all times. It was not for the purpose of even punishment. It was for the purpose of monitoring him when they couldn't. Because unfortunately, they're in a situation where they cannot leave this child unattended. There has to be somebody constantly watching him, and they cannot do that as two working adults. You'll hear that Ronan or Ty participated in activities. He went to school. You'll see videos of him around the house. And he will tell you himself that the door was not always locked. But they did use it when he couldn't be supervised. Once Pierce was born, they needed a baby room. So they built a room in the Arizona house in the garage for Ty. It had a bed, it had a desk, it had Legos. You'll hear from witnesses who actually saw that room. And Ronan showed it to them. Ty took them in and said, hey, look at my room, and showed them all the toys that he had and the books that he had in the room in Arizona. So right before Christmas of 2021, that's when we get to sort of the time relevant in this case, the Ferreters moved back to Jupiter, where they lived many, many years ago when the kids were young. And they decided to build a similar room for Ronan. It had the bed, desk, books, and toys. You'll see videos of him in his room. He's reading. He's talking to his friends. He has Legos there. He is not allowed to have technology in his room alone because that's not something that they felt was safe, but he had other types of activities. He did have like a school Chromebook that was provided by the school. You'll see him FaceTiming with a friend of his. He had posters up on the wall that he, you know, when he got angry, ripped down himself. That's why the walls will look bare. Both the room in Arizona and the one in Florida had one very big design flaw, and that is that it did not include a bathroom. And this means that Ronan, at night when he was in the room and couldn't be supervised, had to use a bucket for the bathroom if he needed to use the bathroom. During the day, he was permitted to move about the house freely, and he could utilize the bathroom in the house itself. And I'm going to be very honest with you. You're going to see him use the bathroom in that bucket a handful of times over this 4 to 5 week period. He's a kid, so he's not waking up and using the bathroom all the time like probably all of us are. And so he uses it a few times, and it's not going to look pretty. But what you have to remember throughout this case, right, is that this was not some big secret life like the state is presenting. These people went to doctors, they went to therapists, the schools were emailing them back and forth about Ronan's behavior. They had family members and friends see the room in Arizona. In Florida, they were only here for about 4 weeks right before Christmas, and then school started. So this is not some sort of secret life that they had for Ronan. Everybody knew that Tom had behavioral issues. Everybody knew that Tim and Tracy were trying and trying and trying to get a diagnosis so that he could get appropriate help, and it never happened. As you review the evidence in this case, you have to remember that the issue at hand is not whether or not Tim Ferreter is a great dad, It is not whether Tim Ferriter did what you would have done, and it's not even if Tim Ferriter did the right thing, because our own expert, Dr. Rappa, will say that he did not, and that those actions could have been damaging to the child. That does not make his actions a crime. The singular question in this case is whether or not there was criminal intent. Because what Tim did not do is have his child arrested, not one time. What he did not do is undergo a failed adoption proceeding where you essentially return a child back to the Department of Children and Families.
Sustained.
He paid.
Sustained.
Okay.
No need to approach. I sustain the objection.
He paid for private schools so that Ronan could have, so that Ty could have activities that he was engaged in. But he had to make tough choices to protect his son, to protect the other kids in his home, and to protect the community from a child who was already showing, you know, a screwdriver in class, hitting other kids. He had to do that. And though he didn't handle it correctly, his intentions were not criminal. Dr. Rappa will testify, based on her extensive experience and review of the records, that what she sees in this case is not malicious. That what she sees in this case is actually very common for parents with children who have such extensive behavioral issues that are hard to sort of diagnose and pinpoint.
Sustained.
How a parent has to act in these situations. The difficulty that Tim Ferriter experienced over and over and over again. The help that he attempted to get this child over and over and over again. I'm going to ask that you find him out.
All right, thank you, Ms. Murad. Ms. Coakley, stay ready to call its first witness. You're doing the direct, Ms. Black?
Yes, Your Honor. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, Ms. Black, you may begin at your convenience.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name.
Officer Ryan Kolenich, K-O-L-E-N-I-C-H.
Where do you work?
The town of Jupiter.
How long have you worked there?
Approximately 8.5 years.
And what's your role?
Patrol.
Okay, patrol what?
Patrol officer.
Okay. How long have you been doing that?
The entirety of my 8.5 years.
Okay. And do you have any prior law enforcement experience?
I do.
Where?
As a patrol officer in the state of Ohio.
Role now. What kind of training and experience do you have?
I am a field training officer, and I'm on the emergency field force team.
And what do you do as a field training officer?
I oversee and guide new officers.
Now, every year, do you have to do any continuing education?
Yes, every year I complete my required annual training with the police department.
Do you remember that day?
I do.
And were you working that day?
Yes.
What was your capacity that day?
Road patrol.
Now, where did you first respond?
For, like, the address?
Yes.
We went to an address in Egret Landing, I believe.
Is that in Jupiter, Florida?
Yes.
In Palm Beach County?
It is.
Now, what were you responding in reference to?
A missing juvenile.
Who did you make contact with when you first arrived?
The missing juvenile's mother.
And what was her name?
I believe it was Tracy.
Okay. Now, at this point, when you arrive, are you with anybody else?
Myself, I was with my training officer, Officer Picard. But no, just Tracy herself.
And you guys arrived there via patrol car?
Correct.
When you first get there, what do you do?
Make contact with the mother at the home.
And where did you make contact with her?
At the front door.
Did you ever go inside?
No.
So you had a conversation with her outside that house?
Yes.
What was the point of having that conversation with her?
Fact-finding, information gathering, so I could relay the information that I was given to responding officers to check for the missing juvenile.
Now, did she ever give a description of that juvenile?
Objection. Overruled.
Did she give you a description?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
And what was done with that description?
We relay that information over the air to officers that are checking the area for the missing juvenile, and it's later typically used for like a BOLO of some nature to put out to other surrounding agencies.
Okay, so you mentioned BOLO. What is BOLO?
It's just like a memo or a transmission to be on the lookout for a certain item, whether it be a person, vehicle, property of some nature that's sent to officers not only on my shift that I work with and other surrounding agencies.
Now, when you spoke to the mother, how is her demeanor like?
You'd have to ask me. I'm not sure what kind of answer you're looking for. She wanted to locate her child, I guess. I'm not sure as far as the demeanor. I don't know.
Okay. Did you ever make contact with the father, Mr. Ferreter?
No.
Now, after speaking with Ms. Ferreter, did you go to any other location?
I personally did not. Other officers did.
Okay, and do you know where the other officers had gone?
Yeah, they went to check surrounding areas, I believe that she relayed to me, as far as like a local church, local parks, and just major thoroughfares throughout the town.
So at the end of January 28th, 2022, did you ever locate that child?
I did not.
1 minute, Your Honor.
All right, cross-examination, Mr. Wahid.
Morning.
It was Tracy Ferreter who called the police, correct?
Correct.
And your the efforts that JPD made thereafter were essentially looking for a runaway child, correct?
I can't speak to thereafter. I don't know what happened thereafter. As far as just on scene with myself is all I can. That's all I can explain to you.
Correct. So, based upon the information you received the day you met with Tracy Ferreter, you essentially began a search for a child. Correct.
Yes.
Who had run away from home. Correct.
Yes.
And you were provided with possible places he may have gone, correct?
Yes.
And you mentioned a church, correct?
Yes.
You also mentioned local parks, correct?
Yes.
And you weren't involved with actually searching any of those locations yourself, correct?
Correct.
Okay. One moment.
Nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wahid. Any redirect, Ms. Black?
All right,
just witness excused.
Yes.
All right, sir, that concludes your testimony. You may step down. Thank you for being here. State, call your next witness.
At this
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Black, you may begin at your convenience.
Good morning, Ms. Collins. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Could you please state your name for the record, spelling your last name?
Sally Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S.
Where do you currently work?
I work for a law firm in Port St. Lucie, Sinclair Law Offices.
What do you do there?
I'm a bookkeeper.
Now, back in January of 2022, did you have a different occupation?
I did.
Where did you work then?
I was a police officer for the Jupiter Police Department.
How long were you a police officer?
19 and a half years.
Now, during those 19 and a half years, did you stay in the same role?
Yes.
And what was
that? Most of the time. For about 6 years, I did recruiting and background investigation, new hire officers. For the rest of my time, I was road patrol.
Now, did you have any prior law enforcement experience?
No, ma'am.
And what kind of training and experience did you have as a road patrol officer?
I did the initial six-month academy at Palm Beach Community. It was Palm Beach Community College. Now it's Palm Beach State College. And after that, I did our in-house training. I took different interviewing techniques and all those kind of basic courses that we do throughout our careers in-house and at other locations.
So I'm going to turn your attention to January 29th of 2022.
Yes, ma'am.
Were you working that day?
Yes, ma'am.
And in what capacity were you working?
I was working road patrol, and I was assigned to District 2.
And was anybody with you?
Officer Chad Smith was also assigned to District 2.
Now, at any point during that day, did you become aware about a missing juvenile investigation? Would looking at your report refresh your recollection?
Yeah, would you mind if I looked at my report? And you said January 29th?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I get readers. On the 29th, my sergeant had said that there had been a report of a missing juvenile taken the night prior, so I guess the 28th?
Yes.
And so on the 29th, I believe he said something to the effect of, it's a teenager that went missing, reported by the school as missing. If you could follow up with the parents and see if he's returned home, you might want to wait until later in the day to see if he's gone to school and has come home after school, something like that.
Okay. So at this point, it is January 29th of 2022.
Correct.
Okay. And after receiving this information, what do you do with that?
I'm referring to my notes here on the call. I initiated a call. Normally what we do when we're called for service is there's a call generated. If it's something that we decide we're going to go and do on our own, we can pull an event number and then tag that to the location and put our notes in that, what we did.
So at this point, who are you trying to make contact with?
I was trying to make contact with either Mr. or Mrs. Farriter.
Okay. And did you eventually make contact with either of them?
I made contact with Tracy.
Okay.
My note says she advised that Rowan has not yet returned, and she would call the police department with any updates. And my note says, but she didn't seem overly concerned, as he's done this before.
Okay. Now, is it typical for you to follow up when children are missing?
Yes.
Okay. And how often would you do something like that?
Road patrol is sometimes very responsive. And so if you're going call to call to call, it might wait a few hours, or it might be something that you accomplish first thing when you get to work is to follow up with something.
Did you ever hear back from Ms. Farriter on the 29th?
The next day, when I reported for duty, my shift started at 5:30 in the morning.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're now talking about January 30th of 2022.
Correct.
Okay, so what did you do that day?
That was a Saturday, and so my sergeant had said, hey, night shift didn't report that he came back, so at some point, can you go to the house or check in with them again and see what the status is and see whether this child has returned.
Okay, so at that point, what do you do?
So I spoke with Officer Smith, who is routinely assigned to District 2, and I said, hey, I want to go out to the house and see if we can get a hold of them because it's being a Saturday morning. Maybe he's returned. Maybe they've heard from him, something. Let's just go to the house.
Now, when you went to the house, did you notice any cars in the driveway?
I don't believe there were any cars in the driveway. We looked at the property. It didn't look like anybody was home. It was quiet. We did knock at the door several times. Again, it was quiet. Didn't appear to be anybody home. There was a chain link fence that ran down the side of the property. We kind of looked over that to see if we could see any movement, see anybody home. It's not unusual that people keep their cars in their garage. And so we didn't know if anybody was home. Repeated knocking, walking around the house, nobody came out.
Okay. So at that point, you notice that nobody's answering the door. What is your next step?
So again, I said, well, let's call her, because I spoke to her yesterday. Let me call her again and see if we find anything out, see if he's returned home, or, you know, maybe they just haven't told us yet that he's back.
And did she let you know that he had not returned home?
Yeah, so I placed a call to her, and I actually, my body-worn camera had been activated while we were out there. And because, sorry, this is a little backstory, but we don't get assigned cell phones, so we have to use our personal cell phones. I don't like to use my personal cell phone to call people I don't know, because then they'd have my number. So I called dispatch and said, can you put me on a recorded line, and can you record the conversation? Can you patch me through to her? So I gave dispatch her phone number, they called her, and she answered that phone call.
Okay. Now, without going into details of the actual phone call with her, did she let you know that he had not been found yet?
That's correct.
Okay. And did, after you were at that residence, after you spoke with her, what else did you do?
So while I spoke with her, seemed to be a normal conversation. I was asking, would they be home? Where were they? Are they coming home soon? She indicated that her husband was with one daughter at some sporting events in Jupiter, and that she was with their daughter at Jupiter High School for band practice or something to do with the band, and that it wasn't convenient for them to come home.
Now, did you ever at any point go to the house later that day?
No.
Your Honor, what minute?
Granted.
No further questions.
All right, Quills.
Dan, you said that that you were told that the husband was in Florida at the baseball game on that day. The 29th?
The
30th. The 30th.
Yeah, which was a Saturday.
Do you know subsequently that that's incorrect, that he was in fact in Ireland during this entire time?
No.
Okay, so that was information that you noted it somewhere? Did you write that down?
It's written down that made contact with Tracy, and she advised nobody is home. One daughter is at Jupiter High School with band, and one at JCC with sports.
Okay, so nowhere in there does it say that Tim Ferriter is with any of the children in Florida on that day, correct? It does not say that.
It does not say that.
Okay. So it's possible you're incorrect when you testified that Tim Ferriter was in fact with a child that day in Florida, correct?
Could you repeat that?
It's very possible, because you said on direct that Tim Ferriter was told by you, sorry, Tracy Ferriter told you that Tim Ferriter was with one of the children that day at a softball game. Mm-hmm. And your notes don't reflect that. In fact, do they? There's nothing in your notes that say
softball.
That.
Softball. It said sports. I also haven't had a chance. I retired from the Jupiter Police Department in February, a month after this event. I haven't had a chance to review my body-worn camera, so I can't tell you as I sit here whether she specifically said she's at the game with her father or not. But at no point did anybody say to me, he's in Ireland, he's not in the country.
Is it very possible that Tracy Ferriter did not tell you that Tim Ferriter was with any of the children that day?
Without listening to my BWC and reading what's here, it's possible.
May I take a quick look at that note you're looking at?
You can approach.
I was reading from one daughter at JHS with band and one at JCC with sports.
Okay. So, just so I'm clear.
Counsel, you need to, if you're going to speak, you need to, you have to be at a mic or you won't get picked up.
I also need my reading glasses. Come on, Dad. Sign to Paige.
Yes, sir.
Nowhere on this report, though, does it say that Tim Ferriter is with the child. It says where one child is and where the other child is. It doesn't say the father is with any of the children.
You're correct.
Okay. So when you're saying that Tracy Ferriter is telling you that Tim Ferriter is with one of the children, that isn't in your notes?
You're correct.
Okay.
I have no other questions.
Any redirect? Is this witness excused?
Yes.
All right, ma'am, that concludes your testimony. You may step down. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir.
All right, State, call your next witness. You can approach. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, at this time, it's about noontime, so we're going to go ahead and break for lunch. I usually try to go to 1:30, but because of logistics with some witnesses, it'll be between 12 and 12:30, as I told you. In any event, we're going to break for lunch now. Today I'm going to give you a little bit longer than you should probably expect throughout the remainder of the week. You'll have from now until 1:25. I want you meeting with Mark out at the elevators at 1:25 for a 1:30 sharp start time on the afternoon session. Remember, and I know I'll say this to you until you're sick of hearing it, during the break of the recess, make sure you don't discuss the case with each other or with anyone else, do any kind of research or investigation, and also, as I've said before, make sure you're not inadvertently exposed to any type of media exposure to this case. Other than that, have lunch, relax, and I'll see you back in about an hour and a half. All right, everyone may be seated. Court will be in recess until 1:30.
The Honorable Judge Howard Coates presiding.
Good afternoon, everyone. You may be seated. All right, we're back in session on State versus Ferriter. All sides ready to proceed? The TV?
Yeah. Is it
pushing the power button, I presume?
Try that.
Also, if there's a video that I'm playing, I'd like to see it.
While he's looking at that, we do need, in order to preserve the record with respect to the video that was requested by the defense in the opening statement, I'd like you to take that video, put it on a thumb drive, have it marked as Defendant's Exhibit 1 for ID purposes. So that it can be properly made a part of the record, because we didn't do that at the opening, but let's make sure that's taken care of.
We also have some objections. The defense, well, I'm going to show them the video we're going to play during, through this witness, but the defense has indicated that there's a video that they intend to cross-examine him on, and I have the state has an objection to it.
Okay, so we didn't address it in by way of a motion in limine, so I'm going to address it in real time as it comes up at the appropriate time in the cross-examination.
Okay,
at this point.
They just let us know about it. So.
Okay, no, I understand. So I'll handle that the same as I would any other evidentiary objection. All right, Mark, have we figured that out?
Well, so ours, we addressed and we reserved, Your Honor. This is the time we would like to put in the evidence of the actions of Tracy Ferriter changing the room. So this witness is about to testify. We have an objection separately that wasn't addressed before because we weren't aware of it to the videos that they want to use during cross-examination of this witness.
Okay.
In the motion in limine, though, we did address two of the videos that the state would like to enter here. So this witness is going to testify that he entered the Ferriter's home prior to the child and took a look at the room. And that's when the room was first discovered. This is the lead detective, Detective Sharp.
when we did the search warrant of the Ring camera, it was revealed that immediately before Detective Sharp is led into the room and sees the room, that Tracy Farriter goes into the room, takes out some of the sheets, and then also takes out the bucket.
Right, and this is the state's video.
These are the state's videos. They're from the Ring camera, but yes, they're the state's videos. Okay. And so we think that this is necessary evidence in order to show the when he views the room, it's different. So he's not aware of the bucket or any of that because of her actions. There's no statements. And then subsequent to that, there's a search warrant about 8 days later, and the room is substantially different at this time. The defense alleged that they don't want it to be attributed to Tim that these actions happened. We're not eliciting to any statements. It's actions that are caught on video. Beyond that, they're charged as co-defendants and their principals to each other's actions. So if this was a bank robbery, and Tracy Farriter, during her escape, took actions that we had video of, those would be admissible in the state proving our case. Because of the principal theory. They're charged as principals to each other as co-defendants, and they're responsible for each other's actions that are in furtherance of the crime. Right. And so there's three videos total that we're going to play. The first two are—
Let me stop you there. This is the argument that I heard in limine, and this is one that I said I'd reserve until time of trial. You have any additional argument other than what was made in limine at this point?
Not any additional argument to that. One video doesn't involve, so there's three videos total. I believe the objection is only to two of them, which are Tracy taking the actions to change the room before law enforcement gets in. We're also going to show—
And you're not playing the audio of the,
There's no audio to those two. There's a third video where Detective Sharp goes in and she kind of shows him the room and he looks around and you can see him like noticing as part of his investigation some of the aspects. She does say some things during that. We are going to play that one without audio.
Okay. All right. So let me hear Mr. Wahid. You're standing there, so I assume you're going to make the argument on this issue. Okay.
So while I wasn't at the motion in limine, I'm looking at it. So the issue, first of all, the state's argument that it's an act in furtherance, it's actually not. So under co-conspirator law, when the crime is done, anything subsequent to the crime, which is, you know, cleaning up or hiding the crime or all of that, is not considered part of a crime, therefore it's not in furtherance, according to federal case law at the very least, and I'm not quite sure.
You have any state case law that supports that position?
I haven't looked at that, so I can look that up, but this is something I do know.
Well, now's the time. If you have it, I need it now because I'm going to be making a ruling imminently.
All right. Well, I'll need a moment then, Judge.
Well, you're not going to get it. You got to make it now, and I'm going to make a ruling because we are in the middle of trial and I need to proceed. I understand, but everybody's been aware of this issue and should come well prepared to argue any evidentiary or legal points with any citation to case law that exists. If you don't have it for me now, day late and a dollar short. I need to make a ruling. So go ahead, Mr. Wahid. And you certainly can rely on your federal case law that you've got. I mean, I'm not saying I'll discount that altogether, but I certainly like to hear state case law when it comes to state evidentiary issues.
Of course. Understood. And then the other argument, Judge, here is that there is zero evidence that Mr. Farriter had any idea about any of this that was going on, in that while it's not in evidence, at some point it might be in evidence, is that he wasn't even in the country at the time. And the court severed this case for a reason, is that you don't want the jury to take admissions of possible consciousness of guilt of one party and impute them on the other. I think that really muddies up the water here, and quite frankly, I think it counters why the court agreed to sever in the first place. So I don't know that this is, in terms of admissibility, those are my arguments. Obviously, I also think there's a 403 argument, which is this is substantially more prejudicial than it is of any sort of probative nature of Mr. Farriter's culpability.
Okay, thank you. Brief rebuttal, Ms. Coakley, and focus on your argument again with the principal point that you're making.
Right, they're charged as principals to each other, so their culpability is intertwined as principals. So the actions that were taken in furtherance of the criminal act of one can be attributable to the other.
And you have three videos, two of them of which have no audio, and a third one you're playing without audio.
Yes, the first two are just her removing things from the room, and she removes some blankets, and then she removes the bucket, and then immediately after that, chronologically, is when the detective is shown the room. That's when they have, that one I don't believe that they're objecting to, and there he looks around, sees the room, there's talking, we're not going to play the audio for that one. The first two don't have audio, I don't believe.
All right, the defense objection to the playing of the three requested state videos is overruled, so they will be permitted to be played during the testimony of this witness. Now, is there another video that I need to address that the defense
let us know that they're going to try and bring in some body cam. Depending on what they bring in, I'll let Ms. Black make a contemporaneous objection. We may not. We can
body cam of the.
It's not of this witness. It's a body cam from the search warrant.
And of the structure
of the house of the house. Yeah. And so I think it might include, so I don't know what they're intending to try and offer. Depending on that, we can make an objection at that time. The second one they have indicated to me is that when the child was, found at Independence Middle School, he was initially placed in handcuffs and taken into police custody. Like they caught him. They want to put in body cam of the child in handcuffs. The state would object to that. It's not relevant. It's prejudicial. And it can cause a confusion of the issues.
Okay.
They have indicated that the reason for that is they want to show how he looked at that time. Immediately after he was caught, he was taken to the Jupiter Police Department. There was a recorded interview where he's on video, and there's also photographs of how he appeared at that time taken for that purpose. There's no reason that they have to show him in handcuffs other than to insinuate that there's some kind of criminal conduct there, which the Your Honor has already ruled was not admissible.
Okay. Mr. Wahid, are you going to be attempting to put this in through this witness? Or is it for some subsequent?
We've got the other issue still, Judge. So, yes, I will answer your question, then I'll come back to this. I'm sorry, Judge, say that again.
Are you going to be using the video that she is referring to in cross-examination of this witness?
Yes.
All right. So let me hear your argument, and then I'll make a ruling.
Sure. So the body-worn camera of the search warrant, Detective Sharp was present. He's in the video. It does show the layout of the house. It also shows the condition of the house at the time of essentially when this offense all happens, which is, I think, the search warrant's executed.
I let the judge know we make a contemporaneous objection to that. We're talking about the one of Ronan being arrested.
Okay. So for the other one, there's allegations that the state is making throughout, that they will be making throughout, that Ronan was malnourished, that he was essentially deprived food. And you see him on this video. This is only a couple of days after he's run away from the Ferreter's home. This is the first time you see him.
And all right, so focus on the real issue here. It's not that's not the real issue. The real issue that she's raising is whether it's appropriate to show the jurors the minor being handcuffed by Jupiter Police Department and whether that's unduly prejudicial or probative here.
Well, the condition of the child is what you're going to see there first, and this is the first time we will encounter the child on video after he runs away. And secondly, there's no allegation in this case that they were arresting him for some crime. They secured him. I don't know why they did what they did, but they secured him and they put him in a car. But that's the first time. That's part of the story of when they finally, that's where they get him.
Well, let me just kind of analogize. I don't allow my defendants to come in front of a jury and be handcuffed because of the negative perception that jurors have when they see somebody coming in to the courtroom being handcuffed. And I have a similar concern that if they see a witness being handcuffed, that might have an adverse effect on their determining the credibility or not of that witness. So that's where I'm coming from. So address that concern and why I shouldn't be concerned about that aspect of it, because obviously you know the defendants, we protect them to make sure that they're not handcuffed in front of the jurors precisely to avoid the negative implications of what being handcuffed means.
Understood, although there have been several videos of interviews of my clients that have come into evidence where they are cuffed to a table, but putting that aside for the moment. In this situation, I don't think there's anything.
I don't think in my courtroom, but at least hopefully not, because I know we typically try to avoid that at all costs. But go ahead.
I don't think there's anything here that is prejudicial to the state at all. There is no allegation that we're making that in that moment he was being arrested for some crime.
Let me ask you this. Does the entirety of the video show the minor in cuffs, or is there only a part of it that shows it?
There's a part of it. He walks. I don't know how many seconds or minutes or what it goes. I don't have the timestamp at hand. But he walks down the hall. He walks in. You see him. Then the police officer stops him and then says something to him, and then they put the cuffs on him.
Okay. All right. Brief rebuttal, and then I'm going to rule.
It's prejudicial on its face. I wouldn't be able to show the defendants being arrested in this case. There's video of that. They can achieve the same ends. There's video of him literally 15 minutes later at the Jupiter Police Department where he's not handcuffed. And then there's pictures that were taken to document his body. In addition, there's been no allegation, nor will be, that he was malnourished. The defendants were incredibly controlling and limiting about his access to food. That's fundamentally different than an accusation of malnourishment, which is not the case here.
Okay, so my ruling is as follows. The state's objection is sustained in part, overruled in part. It is sustained as to any portions of the video showing the minor in handcuffs. It is overruled as to the remaining part of the video that does not depict the minor to be in handcuffs. So as far as your side, Mr. Wahid, that means you can play the video. You just got to excise out any part showing that the minor is in handcuffs.
Well, Your Honor, I think he shows an apprehension where they like chase him and grab him and then put him in handcuffs.
I didn't even see that.
I don't know. That's what you haven't shown. I haven't seen
it. The video I was trying to show you earlier, it's just him walking down the hallway, and he's in the lobby of the school, and then he talks to some officer, I assume a school resource person. And then they put the cuffs on him. And it might keep going.
Well, what you're describing, I have no problem with, except for the cuffs part that I've already ruled on. But if there is a video of them running the minor down and chasing him and apprehending him, I'm not going to allow that to be played.
I have no intention of playing.
Okay. All right. So
for the record, can I just put a case on the record?
You can put it on the record. I'm not going to change my ruling at this point. But go ahead.
Well, Wells for state, it's a first district case. We were doing this in a hurry. And it points out that, and in that particular case, it was the homicide case, and that the real issue there was that the questioning, which was after the crime, is not in furtherance of the conspiracy. The crime had already taken place. He's being charged here with aggravated child abuse, that there was no ongoing version of that by the time Detective Sharp has this interaction with Tracy Ferreter. It's therefore not in furtherance of any conspiracy.
Do you have any case law that says that in a co-defendant situation where they're charged as principals to each other, that consciousness of guilt conduct is not something that can be imputed to one of the other principals? Because to me, that's where this becomes potentially relevant, and why I'm ruling the way I am is because if the spouse is showing consciousness of guilt by removing the bucket from the room, and consciousness of guilt can be shown as, you know, that can be the evidence that the state submits, where you have a principal situation, why would that not be relevant, even under the case you just cited?
Well, the issue goes towards a principal to the crime, and the crime charged here is the actual child abuse charge. It would be different if you were...
Well, child abuse, let's not forget false imprisonment and child neglect. And so even on the issue of false imprisonment, it seems to me you've got a much tougher lift to convince me that the consciousness of guilt of one principal isn't imputed or can be used against the other principal. Am I missing something?
Well, I think what the video, as my recollection goes, again, I came into the case late, so if someone... Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but my recollection is that it is essentially removing some sheets and the bucket. It's not removing the lock from the door, which would be the issue of the false imprisonment. A bucket in a room is not part of the false imprisonment charge. The confinement is the false imprisonment.
Not sure I agree with that, but I understand the point you're making. I'm just not sure I agree with it. I mean, the bucket is. It could be used by the state as potential evidence of the false imprisonment because it kept him from leaving the room and he had to relieve himself in the bucket. So I can see where they can easily tie that in. Any other argument you wish to make, Mr. Wahid, for the record?
Not unless Ms. Murad comes up with a case very quickly, no.
Okay. All right, so my ruling remains the same. Thank you for making the argument, and you put your case on the record.
Thank
you. Mr. Wahid, thank you. All right, all sides ready to proceed now with the continuation of the state's case?
Yes, sir, we're all set. We did meet during lunch about the next witness, but we are obviously going to be taking a break.
Yeah, we'll take a break. Well, you'll let me know when you're ready for me to take a recess so that we can get the IT set up for the in-camera testimony. And that's the next witness, right? Not this witness, but the next witness. Okay, all right. So, Ms. Coakley, you ready to proceed? Ms. Murad? Okay, all right, Mark, you may go ahead and bring the jurors out. All right.
Jury entering.
All right, everyone may be seated. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, welcome back. I trust everyone had a good lunch and were able to relax during the hour and a half lunch break. In any event, we're ready to start back up for this afternoon. We're still in, as you know, the state's portion of the case where they're calling witnesses. So with that, Ms. Black, is the state prepared to call its next witness?
Yes, sir. This time we call
Detective
Sharp. Okay. There's more to come.
Kid in a cage. Florida versus Timothy Ferriter from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Press subscribe now.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's. Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.